if we are having stress and anxiety, it's not necessarily because we're doing things wrong. It could be because we're reacting in a really beautiful human way to what's going on around us. And so I think when we are trying to look at approaches for mitigating that stress and anxiety, it can be much more helpful to find really loving approaches, really kind of wrapping ourselves in this love and awareness, as opposed to trying to change ourselves to not have these feelings, these like really normal reactions to the stress around us, instead of saying like, oh, I need to deal better and or, you know, everyone around me is coping, I need to just learn how to cope. If we can look around us instead and say like, yeah, it's really stressful right now, both outside my home and maybe even inside my home. I want to treat myself with love and kindness. Then our approaches to dealing with our stress can change. Maybe if we're working out, we're working out because it feels good and not because we're trying to change our body. Sometimes the behavior even is the same. Maybe, you know, either way we're exercising, but if our approach changes, then it can become a much more loving reaction.
Welcome to the Gratitude Podcast on www.georgeandbenta.com, where you'll hear a new story each week that will inspire more gratitude in your own life. Our mission is to inspire 100,000 people to discover how to feel gratitude and live a happy life through the amazing life stories of our successful guests and their actionable tips. And now, the host of our podcast, Georgian Benta.
Hi, Gratitude Seeker. Welcome to a new episode of the Gratitude Podcast. Today with us, we have Liza Kindred. She is the author of F This Meditation, 108 tips, tricks, and ideas for when you're stressed out, anxious, and overwhelmed. And we seem to have to be on the same theme as she was saying before we got to go live.
We are all playing for the same team.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm really excited to have her on and to talk about self-improvement, gratitude, and being accepting of ourselves and being happy with who we are. So
yes, thank you for having me here. I'm grateful to be here, and I'm also excited to talk to you.
Awesome. So let us know a little bit more about you.
Yeah, thank you. So in a past life, my previous careers were centered around technology and around fashion, two kind of different career paths that ended up merging. And I was working in fashion tech for a long time, and specifically around wearable tech. And at the end of that path, I was ending up helping different clients build wearables. And a lot of the focus when we were building wearable technology together was around being disruptive and kind of like trying to insert the technology into people's lives in a way that maybe makes them dependent on it, which was really against the morals and values I was coming to realize that I was trying to live my life in. At the same time that I was doing this kind of work, I was meditating and studying Buddhism. I've been a student of Buddhism for about 12 years now. Wow. And I was going to these retreats and trying really hard not to be interrupted, you know, find my inner peace as best I could, and then going to work and helping people build this technology that was intentionally disruptive. And so I had to stop doing it. You know, I couldn't live my life and do my work outside of my principles anymore. And so I launched a company called Mindful Technology. And through that company, we work with technology builders and teach them how to build technology that is more respectful of humans, that puts humans before machines. And at the same time, I launched it all started as an Instagram account called F This Meditation. I did my meditation teacher training a few years ago, and I just wanted to express myself a little bit. And my experience with meditation is not all bliss, unlike a lot of people that I see representing a lot of different brands and Instagram accounts and people that talk about meditation. It's all like peace and quiet and for me, it's been a challenge. It's been kind of gritty and raw and real. And so I launched F This Meditation to find and talk to people like me, people that are interested in a spiritual path, maybe on a spiritual path, wanting to incorporate different practices like meditation or gratitude practices in their daily life, but also still maybe sometimes argue with their spouse or, you know, snap at someone at work, and are living in that kind of like gritty and raw realness. And so that is the genesis. That's where F This Meditation started.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I think this part is very important. Like, even if we are trying to become better people, if we're meditating, if we're practicing gratitude, that doesn't mean that we are not human, that we are, like you were saying, we're not
right.
Going to snap at someone, or maybe we will do this far less than most people, but we're still human. We're
right.
Not going to be like perfect if we choose to be on a spiritual path or if we choose to practice different things that are helping us.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and I don't really trust people who pretend that they're perfect.
Yeah, I came to that conclusion as well, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's like, oh, I don't think you're being real. You know, I mean, you're totally right. What you say is like, hopefully we can maybe snap at other people less and, you know, have a little bit more of a peaceful experience, but we're still real and we're still humans. And so I have a great respect for people who are just like completely honest about who they are and what they're trying to do. And I love that resonates with you too.
Yeah. Yeah. Like in my experience, I've worked with all kinds of people that were teaching some amazing things and they seemed to be perfect until you got closer and you got to see that they are just human. And even if they are trying to, and even if they are great teachers, that doesn't mean that they are perfect and they get to actually live everything that they
yes.
teach, you know? Like for me, when I was thinking about a teacher or a master in something, I thought that, oh, that person knows everything already and is able to actually practice everything, and I'm only going to trust people that are perfectly in balance with this. And that, in my experience, doesn't exist.
It totally doesn't. And, you know, I mentioned I've been studying Buddhism for about 12 years, and the lineage that I was studying is a lineage of Buddhism called Shambhala Buddhism. And I was really all in on it. And there's a lot of really great teachings, a lot of really beautiful teachers. But the lineage holder himself was, I think it's about a year and a half ago now, really became engulfed in scandal because of some actions that he took. It turns out he was being very abusive to his inner circle. And a lot of the people in his close inner circle rallied around him and tried to protect him. And instead of the Shambhala organization saying, oh my gosh, we're so horrified, we want to find what went wrong and root it out and try to fix this, they basically denied any wrongdoing, denied a lot of people's personal experiences, and kind of doubled down on the leader. And so as a result, I left the lineage. A lot of people left the lineage. A lot of their physical locations, such as the one in New York City here, got shut down. And this is someone who, the leader of Shambhala was someone who was very venerated and asked to be referred to as royalty, and respected as if he was someone that was perfect. And, you know, it doesn't exist. Yeah. And to your point, like it said, and so that I think is part of why I'm just looking for the people who are kind of keeping it real to begin with, because then there's, you know, that kind of thing probably isn't as likely to happen.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know what you're dealing with, let's say, and you know that we are masters at some things, and we can teach people some things that we know really well just by being who we are or by actually teaching them. But there are other things at which we're really not that good, and we really we can really work on. And I think this knowing this can be really liberating.
Right. Yeah. And it almost gives us permission. If we have teachers that embody that, it can give us permission to also be who we are and embrace and love who we are. You know, we don't have to see perfection as the goal because it's not attainable, and it doesn't, we don't have to get there to be worthy and whole and complete. We already have those qualities.
Exactly. Exactly. And another part that I think it's related and it's quite interesting is the moral obligation to constantly work on improving ourselves.
Yes, let's talk about that.
One of the things that I love about gratitude that is that it actually helps us see the things that are great about us instead of just looking outside or trying to be more or to be something else, or you know, like,
Yes.
Where does it end?
It doesn't end. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things that I am really trying to get across in my messaging. And one of the things that I try so hard to find ways to explain to people, which is that when we are on that kind of a path, when we accept the idea that we have this moral obligation to continue to improve ourselves, there is no end to that. We will never, as I frequently say, we can't hate ourselves into a version of ourselves that we can love. We cannot continue to improve ourselves to get to a point where we're going to feel like we're enough. We are either going to accept that we are enough the way that we already are right now, today, with our flaws and the things that we wish were different. We're either going to love ourselves as we are, or it's never going to happen. We don't get to continue and change and change and change, and then hopefully get to a place where we feel like we're enough. There is no end to that kind of thing. So if we can use things like a gratitude practice is an awesome way to connect to those parts of ourselves that are already whole and worthy. If we can use these practices to actually feel like we're already enough, then we can get to that place. If we're trying to change ourselves and better ourselves and improve ourselves and fix ourselves to get to the place where we're enough, that doesn't happen.
Yep. And it's been my experience for many years that I've always tried to improve myself and to focus on the areas that weren't good enough in my life and in what I am as a human being. And it was very interesting to see how I felt after I felt that I was enough. And I started appreciating the things that I am doing right and the qualities that I have. And of course, the interesting thing is that actually that led me to grow, even though I wasn't focusing as much on growth.
Yeah.
You know, that's quite interesting.
Yeah, that's one of the things that people say to me. Well, if I accept the idea that I'm already enough, then how will I grow? Will I become stagnant? Will I atrophy? If I accept that I'm enough, if I'm not beating myself up all the time, how do I have that growth? And I love that you said that because it happens naturally. It just comes from a place of love and compassion and understanding instead of a place of desire for change.
Exactly. Like how much change can there be, you know, like if we are just waiting, it's like the same with different kinds of goals that we have. It's great that we have them, but just waiting for different goals to come about and not living life until you get those goals achieved.
Yes.
I think it's not a really good plan for a happy life.
Right. It's not good for long-term success. And I think a lot of us have had those experiences where we've set a goal or, you know, wanted a change, set an intention to change. And had that change or reached that goal. And we do experience temporary happiness. And of course, we should feel proud for accomplishing something. But it doesn't last, because then there's a new goal. You know, it's like, if we get this great new apartment or house, we can really enjoy it for a while. But then, you know, we start to notice this, oh, I wish this was different. And, you know, this is broken now. And, oh, gosh, what if I had a new apartment or a new house? You know, that just, it's only temporary, those feelings of achievement. But the feeling of self-love and gratitude and compassion, man, that stuff lasts.
Yeah. And it's so powerful. And even after you get a new thing, if you practice gratitude, it's so much easier to see different things that you appreciate about that particular thing that you got. And even for things or experiences or people that you have in your life that have been there for a while, gratitude helps you see different characteristics that you haven't seen yet.
Yeah, what a beautiful gift.
Yeah. So, also, I wanted to get into another part that I think can be very interesting and useful for our listeners as well. Talk to us a little bit about your perspective about stress and what we can do about it.
Oh, yeah. Boy, we all have that, don't we?
Yeah.
One of the things that I think is really important when we are feeling stressed out, anxious, overwhelmed, lonely, sad, depressed, when we're having these kind of difficult emotional experiences, one of the things that I think is so vitally important for us to remember is that a lot of it is coming from outside of us, and it's not individual character flaws. There's a lot of systemic problems. There's a lot of, we're living in a very chaotic world right now, and there's a lot of stress that's real. There's financial stress that's very real. There's relationship stress that's real. I don't even need to bring up, we all know that globally the political landscape is so fractured and chaotic right now. We're dealing with the climate crisis. We have all these things that are happening in the broader world at large and also systemically. But so many of us have this belief that our own stress and our own anxiety is a personal character flaw. And it's not. It is a normal, typical human reaction to an incredible amount of stress and chaos that surrounds us. Probably my favorite quote in the whole world is a poet named Jiddu Krishnamurti, who says, "It is no measure of health to be well-adjusted to a profoundly sick society." And I love that quote because I think it really says, if we are having stress and anxiety, it's not necessarily because we're doing things wrong. It could be because we're reacting in a really beautiful human way to what's going on around us. And so I think when we are trying to look at approaches for mitigating that stress and anxiety, it can be much more helpful to find really loving approaches, really kind of wrapping ourselves in this love and awareness, as opposed to trying to change ourselves to not have these feelings, these like really normal reactions to the stress around us, instead of saying like, oh, I need to deal better or everyone around me is coping, I need to just learn how to cope. If we can look around us instead and say like, yeah, it's really stressful right now, both outside my home and maybe even inside my home. I want to treat myself with love and kindness. Then our approaches to dealing with our stress can change. Maybe if we're working out, we're working out because it feels good and not because we're trying to change our body. Sometimes the behavior even is the same. Maybe, you know, either way we're exercising, but if our approach changes, then it can become a much more loving reaction.
Definitely. The intention with which we do things is extremely important, and where our attention is as well is very important, and it can lead to very different results, as you were saying. And it's quite interesting In my experience, I have been practicing yoga for a while, and you can do it in two ways. You can just do the physical exercises and not focus on anything else, on what's happening in the body, or you can be aware and you can be present and become aware of everything that's happening in your body. Mm-hmm. And it's such a big difference, and it's so much powerful when you're aware and when you have the intention to do it in a way in which you feel better, you know, like you want to do this as something that you do for a reason that feels good for you.
Yeah, it's almost doing it for yourself instead of against yourself.
Yeah, and I think that your point is very, very good and very important to think about when we're doing different things. And most of the time, the stress that we're going through, it can be easily solved if we have the right intention.
Yeah, and I really think that it is, from my perspective, from my point of view, when we're looking at a practice of self-care or self-love, I really believe that it's most effective when it's about loving instead of changing. So I actually look at some actual measurements when, okay, I'm maybe I have a practice, I'm doing this practice. Is it what I refer to as shame-based self-care, or is it more along the love-based self-care? And I think we can measure that by looking at, is this practice about accepting what is, or is it about changing? And is this about loving, or is it about fixing? And is it about taking a pause and having spaciousness, or is it about like focusing and effort? Because to me, those are really measurements that can kind of gauge where you're at on this spectrum between shame-based and love-based. It's like, are we opening and expansive and loving? And are these practices making us feel centered and grounded and spacious? Or are they kind of making us like lean in and maybe furrow our brows? Are they about like changing and fixing and effort? And I think that that's a way that we can gauge like, okay, where is this coming from? What is the intention behind this and how is it manifesting?
That's so true. That's so true. And I was actually thinking of an interesting example. My girlfriend is a photographer, and I've been with her at a few photo shoots. Mm. And it was so interesting that in the same day we had two very different photo shoots, and in one of them the girl she was photographing was, she was thin, she looked good, in theory the pictures and everything should have went perfect. Mm-hmm. But she was focused quite a lot on her flaws, and she wasn't really accepting of herself and wasn't really loving herself. And mm-hmm. we could see that, and it was harder for her as a photographer to take the best shots. But we had another shooting, and it was so interesting that even though the other person wasn't as perfect and as ideal from some points of view,
right,
the fact that she was in love with herself,
that's awesome.
Yeah, even as imperfect as she might have been from some points of view, that the shooting was so much different, and the pictures were so much better. And you know, it's something simple, and you would think that people that look great on the outside also feel great about themselves, but it's not always the case.
No, I mean, there's such two different things, right? And simple, but not easy.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's such a great example. It's like when we really are loving ourselves and embracing ourselves for who we are, it emanates. And your example is so great. It's like it even came through to the camera.
Yeah. Like it's a really big difference. And I think it's very powerful because this actually enables us to do something about how we feel about ourselves. That's not dependent on the outside, you know, on the circumstances and how we might look at one point or another.
Yeah, exactly. It's such a radical idea of just like, oh, I'm actually going to just choose to love myself and be grateful for who I already am. Not trying to change, you know, not trying to fit a standard of beauty, not trying to reach a certain income level, you know, whatever it is. Like, oh, I'm just going to love myself the way I am. It's like, whoa, that is a big deal. It is simple. It is so difficult and it is so powerful.
I love that. It's simple, but it is difficult. And I think that's important to mention.
Yeah, I mean, everything's fighting against it, right? I have this example I'd like to share, which is there's this idea in when we're manufacturing products, there's this idea of planned obsolescence, which is the idea that product manufacturers are making goods that will break or will fall apart, that only will last a certain amount of time. And that's a relatively recent phenomenon. Goods used to be made to last. I have a washer and dryer in my house that are from the 1970s and they are going strong. Like they're big pieces. They work so well. Now stuff is made to break, especially with electronics. And sometimes that's not intentional, but sometimes it is. You know, even looking at like our Apple phones, for instance, like we can't use the same headphone jack that we used to use. It's like, oh, now we all have to buy new this and buy new that. So that's planned obsolescence. I believe that in the wellness world in the kind of spiritual industrial complex, the corollary to planned obsolescence is this idea of constant striving. So we're always trying to like become a little bit better, improve a little bit more, fix more things about us. This idea of constant striving keeps us always focused on the next thing and honestly making purchases to try to improve and get better. And so in the same way that when products break down, we have to replace them, if we are never accepting that we're enough the way that we are, we're going to continue to make purchases and take classes and da, 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 da. And so I think that those things are really, really related. The way to kind of step out of the planned obsolescence thing is to, you know, we can be grateful for what we have and we can fix things that break if we're able to. And then for those of us on a spiritual or wellness path, we can just accept who we are. It's like so radical, but so powerful.
Yeah, it's so simple. And like you said, so powerful. And yeah, it's quite interesting to think about this parallel between us and technology and the fact that we are indeed very alike and we break down sometimes and we need different things when we break down. And I think it's very powerful to have something like, for me, gratitude is a tool, a life tool that it's so good to use in all kinds of situations. And for instance, when we break down, it's also a great moment. It's actually after a breakdown, I could say it's when I actually got more into studying about gratitude, and gratitude has helped me come out of that state and into something much better. And it was quite interesting to find that I have this tool with me all the time and I can use it, and it's very powerful.
That is so great. And I really agree with you. There's an author, Marianne Williamson, who has written a lot of best-selling books. People may know her from her book, A Return to Love. But she once said, and I'm probably misquoting it, but it was something along the lines of nervous breakdowns are a highly underrated method of spiritual transformation. Like when we have those moments of breaking down, like you're talking about, like those can be the moments where we're like, okay, now what? Like things just fell to pieces. How do I want to put them back together? And I love that for you, that's been a gratitude practice. And I have, I've had really powerful experiences with gratitude myself. A lot of times when I am spinning out, when I am just so irritable or so angry or whatever it is, I make a gratitude list. I mean, it is like one of the most powerful tools. It really is for making you, or for allowing you the opportunity to like take a step back and just reframe how you're looking at the world around you, instead of like, oh, everything is going wrong. It's like, okay, well, a lot is going wrong, but there's at least a few things that are okay. So let me just write those things down. It was something that I did earlier last year. My daughter was in the hospital. She's fine now, but we were actually in the emergency room here in New York City for days. And I was all alone with her there. And it was, you know, I wasn't sleeping, of course. And so I was just exhausted and so scared and upset. And I just kept making gratitude lists because it was almost like a lifeline for me. It was like, I'm terrified and I'm scared, but there's this one nurse that keeps coming in and she's really nice. And so I'm going to write that down, you know, or that machine was beeping all night, but it stopped now. And I'm really grateful that that machine has stopped beeping and writing that down. And for me, it really was, like I said, it functioned almost like a lifeline. Like I was able to not have a complete breakdown at a time when I needed to hold it together for my daughter, because I was just like grasping onto this gratitude.
Yeah, exactly. And you being strong, it matters quite a lot when you're in such a situation, and having such a tool to keep you strong is very, very important and can have many lasting benefits for the near and far future. But I also wanted to get to something else that I'm really curious to get your view on. You talk about the to-done list.
Yeah.
What
is it? A to-done list. That's another thing. So in the book, as you mentioned, there's 108 tips, tricks, and ideas for when you're stressed out, anxious, and overwhelmed. Fully half of the tricks in the book take 5 minutes or less. There's some longer practices in there, but the majority of them are like, all right, you've only got a minute or you've only got a couple minutes. What can you do? And one of those, and this book, I just mentioned my daughter. I wrote this book for my daughter. So she was graduating from high school and was getting ready to do a gap year of travels. And I realized that I knew a lot of these little like anti-anxiety or anti-stress tricks that I used for myself that I hadn't really done a very good job of teaching her. And so I started making, I'm kind of a nerd, so I started making a spreadsheet and it had different columns, like here's the trick, here's the kind of emotion that it's really good for, here's how much time it takes, all that. And that spreadsheet, at a certain point, I realized like, oh, I could actually make this into a book. And so I printed out the book. I like went online on one of those websites and I worked with an awesome designer, friend of mine, and she made this like beautiful edition, and I printed it out and I actually gave the book to my daughter for a graduation present, which,
wow.
yeah. So it started out really personal, and it was later that I had a publisher contact me, through the F This Meditation Instagram account and say to me, have you ever thought about writing a book? And I was like, I have a book. I've got a book right here. She told me I was the first person that they'd had that brought a completed book into my first meeting with the publisher. And that's because I had done it. It was like a labor of love. I had done it because I wanted to give my daughter these tools. So, and that's the book that's coming out October 22nd. It's a lightly edited version of the same book. So, oh my gosh, I just forgot the question I was answering.
Oh, don't worry. Don't worry. You got to the exact point that that was important right now. So I was asking about the to-done list.
Oh, thank you. Yes. So the whole book is stuff that I do myself. That's what I was trying to say. So the to-done list is something that I do myself pretty frequently. So the idea of a to-done list is that instead of making a to-do list, you make a list of everything that you have gotten done. Not everything that's left to do, it's everything that you accomplished. And I oftentimes, when I do them, it can be for like a day, week, month, year, whatever. Oftentimes for me, it's for the week. Because I find myself getting towards the end of the week and I'm like super stressed out. I'm looking at my to-do list and I'm like, oh, I feel like I've been working my tail off all week, but my to-do list has only gotten longer, you know, and I'm so what the heck? I'm super stressed out. So those are times when I actually make a to-done list, which is where I look back, usually over the course of a few days or a week or whatever, and I just write down everything that I did. Like everything. Some of the stuff was on the to-do list. Most of the times it wasn't, you know, it's like, okay, I did, I spent an hour with my friend who was going through a tough time. I did like, you know, three loads of laundry. I made, you know, like six phone calls, like whatever it was. I write all that stuff down on the to-done list and I just cross it off. And for me, it functions similarly to making a gratitude list where it just can completely reframe my feelings and attitude about what's going on. Because inevitably, when I look at the to-done list, I'm like, holy crap, I did so much. and it, for me, it really helps. Like, yeah, this I can now see because I wrote it down on a piece of paper. I can see where the time went. I can see all that I accomplished, even if it wasn't what I thought I was going to set out to accomplish this week. I can see that I have done, you know, so much. And so I can, for me, I can find a place to like relax and I don't have to, I'm not stressing out as much about being productive because I can see the things I have accomplished. And sometimes it's not an enormous amount of things that I accomplished. Sometimes it's like, I am really sad this week and I managed to take care of myself. Like, you know, sometimes it's really simple. It's like I survived the week. But that matters. Being able to see, like, yeah, I'm here. I'm, you know, I'm showing up for me or for other people, and like that matters a great deal. So that's the to-done list practice.
I love it.
Thanks. You'll have to try it sometime.
Yeah, it's so powerful, and when you think about it, it makes so much sense. Because otherwise, what do we think about? Oh, we forgot to do this, we forgot to do that, we need to do this, we need to do that. And of course, the list is never ending. There's always something that you can put on your to-do list. And that just gives you anxiety and it makes you feel bad. And just flipping that is brilliant. And I urge the gratitude seekers listening to try it. Like,
yeah, give it a try to see how it feels.
Yeah, tonight or at the end of the week or whenever, as soon as possible, actually.
At the end of this podcast, yeah.
Yeah, at the end of this podcast. And just look at the things that you've done today and make a list of them and see how it feels. I think it's a very powerful way of looking at our day, our week, and it really shifts our perspective and how we feel about our life and what we did.
Yes. Yeah. I use a to-do list organizer that is, it's online. And when I accomplish something, it just disappears from the list. So, for me, this practice too is also just like claiming the stuff that I've done, because, you know, the online to-do list, it just disappears into nowhere. And through this process, I'm like, I did this.
Yeah.
I go me. I hope that everyone that tries this can see if they're, you know, able to connect to a similar experience of like, yeah, I'm awesome.
And that's so true. And it builds up when you do this, instead of feeling down that you haven't managed to do some things that were on the to-do list or that you should have taken care of, you get this boost of confidence. You know that you can do the things that are still on the table that need to be done, but you also feel satisfied with what you already did and with you as a person. And I think that's very important, and it links beautifully with acceptance and loving ourselves.
Yes.
Good. So since we're nearing the end of our time together, I wanted to ask you, firstly, who in your life are you grateful for that you would like to mention?
Oh my gosh, that's such a beautiful question. Yeah, I would love to mention my daughter, who just started going to college, to university here in the US. She has been the inspiration for all of the good things that I have put out there over the course of the last 20 years. I had her when I was quite young, and I have no idea what my life would have been like without her in it, but I know that because she was a part of my life, I have been constantly inspired to try to do as good as I can for the people around me. I have a friend of mine who is going through her own transgender transition. And I am, her name is Alyssa, and I am continually inspired by her bravery and courageousness and just her presence in the world. And so those are two people that I find very inspirational. I'm very grateful to have them both in my life and to be close with both of them. And my husband as well is someone who is endlessly supportive of my work. His name is Josh, and the rest of my family as well has been. I feel really lucky because I have a big family. I have five siblings. There's six of us, and it feels like a built-in team between my siblings and my parents, my extended family, a team of people that are cheering for me and are supporting my work. And that feels, and we're all very different. We all come from very different, we have different life, we have the same background, obviously, but different life experiences and have landed in really different places spiritually and religiously and politically. But despite all that, my family is super supportive, and I feel very grateful for that because I know that that's not always the case.
I love it. I love it. It's very powerful to have this kind of connection in spite of the differences, and I'm really happy that you and your family are an example of what is possible in the world, and I think this is very beautiful to see and to experience, and I'm happy that you shared this part with us.
Yeah, thank you. Can I ask what you're grateful for?
Oh, I'm grateful for many things, and we could go on for quite a while, but the thing is that we are a little bit past our time.
Well, I'm grateful for you to take the time to talk to me.
Yeah, my pleasure. But I wanted to ask you about your book. Where can our listeners find it? Where can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, thank you. So the book, F This, it's EFF, This, Meditation. It's available on Amazon and anywhere that books are sold. It's going to be shipping on October 22nd. And anytime that anyone has any questions that they want to ask about meditation or self-care, I really invite you to reach out to me directly. It does sometimes take me a little while to respond, but I respond to every DM on Instagram. We're also F This Meditation on Instagram, or my personal email, which is just my name at Gmail. If you have any questions about, like I said, meditation or self-care, or just want to reach out, I'm here to talk to anyone about any of that kind of stuff directly. And I am really grateful for everyone taking the time to listen to our conversation today.
Definitely. So am I. And I am grateful for you for being here with us and for sharing so many amazing ideas so enthusiastically. and for this beautiful conversation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Gratitude Seeker. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this interview. I really appreciate it. And if you could think of one person that would also benefit from it, share it with them. It might actually be the inspiration that they need to make their day or maybe even their life much better. Thank you so much once again. This has been Georgian Benta. Don't forget to keep seeking and spreading gratitude.